Pippa. This is about Wide Horizons, your film, which is actually profiling quite a remarkable dance troupe called the Dance North. So tell us about how you got involved in making this film about these people.
I've actually had a long-running friendship with the directors of the company, Kyle Page and Amber Haynes. We've known them. My partner, my wife, danced with them, oof, like at least a decade ago, if not more, back in ADT, Australian Dance Theatre. So they know each other very well. And then it was actually, we were living in Europe for 4.5 years, and we had just conceived a child, and we're ready to come home. And it just so happened that they reached out to us and actually offered Tara a job in the company. And we thought, well, what a beautiful place to start the life of a child. And then they announced, yes, but we are going on this enormous, very ambitious regional tour of Australia, which will take up most of the year. Will you be up for that? And we thought, okay, well, how do we stay together as a family? And then the more I started learning about the company and what they were doing and the kind of work they were creating, and the kind of culture they were nurturing, I thought this is something really special. And I really felt that I wanted to find a way to capture what they were doing and share it with a broader audience. So, yeah, applied for funding to go on tour with them really was the first step.
So you're a filmmaker by trade?
I am. I mean, my training is actually in photography. So, self-taught filmmaker, but I have been doing it for a number of years now. It's more often been in short format, short documentaries, dance film. So, this was probably my largest undertaking as an individual feature-length film.
I can see why it was so attractive to you to make a film about these very special people who are doing a very special thing. From a filmmaking point of view, did you plot it in any sense, or were you really just very alert to anything that might be going to happen?
For the most part, the latter, very alert, very in the space as much as I could be, letting them lead me. And I was very lucky to be let in to such a personal and raw space, and they really welcomed me with such open hearts, such braveness, actually, I would say. Felt very privileged to be invited in the way I was. And yeah, I let the story unfold before me initially. And in that period, I was really learning and listening and capturing and talking and interviewing and just gathering, gathering, gathering. And then, of course, as I started to form, what this documentary was going to sort of be about at its core, then I started a few extra sort of scenes or requests or shapings that I sort of, yeah, commandeered myself.
That's interesting. This is why it's such an interesting film on so many levels. To begin with, it's a cultural artifact because it's talking about a very high standard dance troupe, but which is in a regional area of Queensland, which is almost unheard of, we'd have to say, right? Like
Absolutely.
reaching for the stars. So that completely undermines the common view of where great art comes from. Okay, especially in dance. And then you implode or they do, the cultural narrative of overlaid European colonizers onto the space and look at it straight head on. They as a company make reconciliation sound like something that everybody should be part of.
And they really embed it deeply in the company culture and company values. And I really saw that firsthand. As soon as I got there, it was so evident, just by the people walking in and out of the building, the people making work, the whole energy of the space. I was blown away by, to be honest. And yeah, I think it's incredibly inspiring the way that they're approaching that reconciliation and the effects that it's having rippling out into that community. And I'm hoping that in the making of this documentary, those ripples can go even further, than the localized area that they're really affecting.
Yeah, because it's really part of the Valley of the Beats, because this location is very close to Palm Island, as one of the
Absolutely.
people talk about. And of course, Australia, white Australia, has a deafening silence when it comes to the past. It's, you know, being, it's like Sleeping Beauty. It has to be whacked on the face to wake up. But then from a filmmaking point of view, and also as a photographer, you're given luscious visualizations to play with, aren't you?
I sure am. Yeah, I mean, as well as the, I mean, dance itself is such an incredible form to capture, and I've been long enamored with it. In fact, as soon as I started shooting dance and dancers many, many years ago, it's been really hard to look outside of it because it just speaks so much to what it is to be human. In particular, contemporary dance, because it is so diverse and it is so boundless, and it can touch on so many topics. That yeah, as soon as you freeze it in a still frame, and then yeah, capturing it in video as well, I feel like you're yeah just transported into something that's actually very internal, despite the fact that you're viewing something intrinsically external. It's like a portal to the human soul, the human psyche and experience and everything that comes along with that. So that is always juicy. And then we're adding in these incredible landscapes, these rich Australian, you know, we went to so many regional places across the whole of Australia. And yeah, I mean, I did also convince them to come out on country with me on several occasions, which was so special and actually a really profound experience for all of us involved, especially out in the centre of Australia in Alice Springs. And then adding in the layers of, you know, in the rehearsal room, which is also a really juicy space, visually, cinematically, but it really gives this kind of insight into how these, like you said, very high level dance works are made and how these performers prepare themselves and step up for the endurance that a long tour demands of you as well, and the impact of that on the body. I had a lot to work with,
Yeah, no,
yeah.
it's fascinating. And also, you do a great job because, one, I find the whole investigation of the cultural and artistic process of dancing absolutely fascinating. You really take us there, and the people actually communicate it with you in a way that's really revealing. But also, the way you shoot it actually allows us to see it. Because quite often the way it's shot, and you probably have opinions about this, but as a viewer, I have opinions about it. I find it's very cluttered and gets in the way of us actually appreciating what's going on when it's in a moving image. So you've done a great job, a really great job. And those shots outside as they're improvising are very thought-provoking, I'll have to say.
Well, I should also note that I had my wife, Tara, who at that point in the storyline of the documentary, she's injured, so she's not in it, but she stepped up to be, let's say, a movement director, and she initiated a lot of the tasking behind those improvisations. So they weren't just sort of like go out and connect with the land with
No,
yourself.
no,
She had a
no.
very sophisticated tasking structure for the dancers that she worked with them on location a little bit first, and then we kind of let them delve in and deep dive into that within that sort of framework that she'd set out. So I'm very lucky, and this can be said for a lot of the work that I've done actually in dance, having Tara on my team speaking that language has been an incredible gift for opening dancers up the way that they have for me.
The other thing about the film itself is because they're on the move, and the film's on the move as well. And we get to see people as real people, as well as your darling child, so that we get this wonderful human side of movement in a a dance company that's on the move. It's really quite a it's like a road movie, you know, like if it was rock and roll, it would be, you know, it's got the same feel as a rock and roll road movie in a sense.
I really wanted it to feel raw and real. And that's why I spoke of the bravery of the people that were involved, because they, you know, we had a special code word that if it felt too personal, they could say the word koala and I would know, okay, this footage, you know, I can't use it. So that was great. But really, they were just open books for me, even in the roughness and rawness of life on the road, which is pretty demanding. You can get pretty worn down. And they just kept showing up. And yeah, as well as that, I did do the entire film almost exclusively with my baby, who, when we started tour, was 5 months old. And when we finished it, was maybe 18, 19 months old. So almost entirely with her strapped either on my back or my front with a gimbal in my hand. So that was a very particular challenge and also kind of blessing of the journey as a filmmaker and also of all of us, you know, being on tour with this sparkling baby really shifts the energy that is present. And I think we all really enjoyed that actually. And I like to think she enjoyed it too.
Yeah, and the characters of all the people come out, shine through. They're quite particular people themselves, and that's a really nice element to the entire process of this film. I was surprised that you called it Wide Horizons rather than Wayfinders, because I thought that actually the dance that they were presenting to the world was called Wayfinders. And I really do feel like the film, the people in the film, and the film itself is a wayfinder for a whole lot of us to understand not only dance, but also our role as people in Australia. It's a fascinating document, and you've done us a great turn.
Oh, thank you so much. It's funny that you say that because I really wanted to call it Wayfinders. But I kept just thinking, I can't call it that because that's what the show's called. That would be a cop out. You know, it would be like cheating or something to sort of steal that fantastic name. But you know, now you're making me second guess it. In the end, I thought I better choose my own name, but I do agree that I really feel like it's quite appropriate to the work that they are doing as a whole and just the culture that they've created. I really hope it can influence other people, other companies, other individuals, other dancers to, yeah, I guess it's really, really valuing relationships and the quality of relationships above just about everything else. And everything trickles down from that. And having been there and seen the effects of that was quite profound. And I really hope that that is something that people can take away from this and incorporate into their own lives or companies or structures or the way they interact with the world. I certainly have.
I have to mention the rather delicious piece of editing or shooting where you are in, they're all in the building and they keep opening doors for you as you can walk into different spaces. That was such a nice piece of work that underpinned exactly what you just said about human relationships. It was so cheerful.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. I love that you picked that up.
Tell me about the edit.
The edit, I mean, it was monstrous, as I think a lot of documentary films are. And certainly because it did stretch over in the end quite a large period of time. And I had originally intended to keep it just focused on the tour, but there was a few sort of sticks in the road, so to speak. One was, yeah, my partner getting injured. Yeah, a series of other events that made me rethink how I wanted to structure and made me decide to actually expand how much I shot and dive actually into life at home, other works, other collaborations, really go deeper and deeper and deeper than just that single phenomenal work and tour, which then, yeah, made the amount of footage that I had and the diversity in that footage pretty immense. And so it was a beautifully challenging process to craft together a succinct storyline from all of that. And, you know, again, to do that with baby on the floor or always around was another layer in the challenge. But I do love it, I have to say. I do love crafting a story.
You are screening it at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. Is that the first screening or what?
It's definitely the first screening in Melbourne, and it did have a very small screening up in Townsville, a local one, part of the North Australian Festival of the Arts. So we did our sort of premiere release there, and that's when the whole company and all the connections with the company up there, everyone in the film came to watch it, and members of the public from up there as well, which was actually such a moving experience in itself because people were so close to it and seeing it for the most part for the first time. And yeah, a lot of tears, a lot of emotion. So that was really special, but it was pretty localized. And so this will be its first step out into the wider world and community. And I'm so delighted to be a part of the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. It's such an incredible festival. Yeah, that's really exciting for
Do you
me.
know what date it's on?
We would love to do some regional screenings, especially to some of the places that we visited along the way. And I think we're gonna, yeah, always do a cookies and tea chats afterwards, yeah, to talk
Well,
about it and connect us all.